lot of things for you. I'm your host, Bernard Kelvin Clive. BKC is the name, inspiration is the game. We have some inspirational messages for you and a lot of discussion points, some freebies along the way. But before then, I'm playing this track for all of you out there. This is the first Saturday in the month of July. I want you to enjoy this track with hope, determination, and courage. You can do everything you desire to do. Enjoy this track by R2B's Olai. Yeah, I want you to get up and dance. Enjoy the inspiration from the song.
Meant for life, sweet a band. But you for take it easy, man. Make you know the rush and blow your meter on. Just get your hustle on. Then before you go for land, use your head and use your hand. Don't you envy brother man. After all, we all be watching, oh, yeah. So we know what you're doing and don't watch nobody.
Those dreams, those goals, keep moving on. Olai by R2B is one of the finest tracks anywhere, and I believe you're enjoying your Saturday morning. This is Youth Wise Forum, proudly powered by 233host.com, tackling youth unemployment in the nation and the continent of Africa, and also looking at our health habits, health pattern. You know, your health is really your wealth. So look at that shortly, but before then, let me give you a motivational message for the morning. And I want you to encourage you for the second quarter, second half of the year. And there's the first Saturday too. I know you're still working on your dreams and your goals. And I believe you work hard with determination, hope and courage. You can still make all those dreams come to pass. And if you like me on the social media, you can join our page at facebook.com/youthwiseproject or be part of our group that is Youthwise Forum. Just search that on Facebook and be part of the forum, the group discussion, and add your contribution or voice to whatever we're discussing today on air and subsequent programs. We have some free tickets for you for upcoming events and seminars to help you. Now, this morning, I just want to share some short message for you when I play you your track again. Many times we have goals, dreams, and things we want to desire, and sometimes you may feel that you don't really count or you don't contribute much, because when you look at the world with people with fame and popularity and things, you might sometimes want to force to compare yourself with others, but that's not the best in any way. However, look within yourself and find out what you have and what you can also contribute. And the point is that everyone really counts, and there's always something that you can also afford to give out and to help people with too. So this message I'm sharing is a special poem I want to share with you, and this poem was written by Helen Steiner Rice, and I want to encourage you this. Then after that, I move on to my special guest. We discuss your health is really your wealth and what you need to do about that. And listen to this. It says that brighten your corner. Hear this. You cannot all be famous or be listed in Who Is Who, or I might say in Forbes magazine, the top 100 or whatever. But every person, great or small, has important work to do. For seldom you do realize the importance of small deeds, or to what degree of greatness unnoticed kindness leads. For it is not a big celebrity in a world of fame and praise, but is doing unpretentiously in an undistinguished way the work that God assigned to us, unimportant as it seems, that makes our tasks outstanding and brings reality to dreams. So do not sit in idle wish for wider new dimensions where you can put into practice your many good intentions. But at the spot God plays you, begin at once to do little things to brighten up the lives surrounding you. Give everybody brightening up the spot where they are standing by being more considerate and a little less demanding. This dark world would very soon eclipse the evening star if everybody brighten up the corner where they are. A poem by Helen Steiner Rice. If everybody brighten the corner wherever he or she find himself to be. This Saturday morning today, as you listen to us, if you would only brighten your corner, do the little things you can do with the giftings and talent God has deposited within you, you can make the world a better place. You count, so make your effort count. Enjoy your morning. This is Youth Wise Forum. That is where my special guests are seated. We'll look at our health, our life, and what we need to do to keep our life moving. Good morning.
Good morning, Bernard.
How are you doing?
Very well, are you?
Good as gold.
Yeah. It's my watch already.
Come on, I'm looking for that. I know it's good to know. All right, listeners, my guest today on health, as we look at health and healthy living habits, is Abigail Ashley. She is a health activist,
I came with Kafi Bagida from the spine clinic. He is an exercise therapist. You know, you can't talk about health and living without adding exercise to it. Yeah.
Kafi, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Fine, thank you, Ben.
Any exercise? Are you in the exercise? Are still here? I will do some exercise in the studio.
Hopefully.
All right, we'll try that over the microphone. So, Kafi and Abigail, you're welcome to U4I's forum. And we will discuss in healthy living habits and this part of our world, and you know, local Accra, can't eat a lot of starchy food, I might say. So we need some exercise, we need some healthy eating habits, and to do that. So Kafi, have you had breakfast?
Yes, Bernard. I took some mangoes this morning.
Kafi,
and later on, I know I'm coming to eat my wachi from you, so I just took the mango to line up. So I'm just waiting for the wachi from you.
Kafi, what about you?
Yeah, I've had some popos this morning already.
Oh, okay, so good. I was just waiting for my wachi from my big boss. I'm just waiting after the show, and I'll bet you see if you enjoyed that too. So I'm ready for that. All right, so let's start with look at a whole thing to do with health. And your wealth, and you look at health, is very important. And should we start with exercising? Let's look at the one. Why is our health really important physically? I think if I get something to eat, I go to work, I think I'm okay with that. What do you think? And why is it necessary? Why is it needed?
Yeah, the health is very, very important. And then you can't talk about our health without talking about what we put inside our bodies and what we do with our bodies. And that boils back to our eating and then our exercising and all that we do. So when we talk about health, it varies. We talk about health, and then five things just come to mind. Food, water.
Five things. Okay, let's look at that.
Okay, the five things that come to mind is need to eat a lot of fruits and vegetables, which is very, very important. Incorporate them into our diet. Then we have to talk about our water intake. It's also very, very necessary. And then we talk about the exercising bit of it. You can't do away without it. Then we looked at keeping our bodies and environment clean, which is also very important when we talk about health. And then lastly, we also look at how to rest and relax our bodies and our souls. So when we talk about health, this is the five things that comes to mind. And it plays a very, very vital role when we talk about health. So health in general comes with five principles. And these five principles, at the end of every day, you just have to make sure that you've practiced at least four of them. If not at all.
At least four. So every day.
Every day. You have to practice at least four. If you can't make the five, at least four out of the five.
Kafi. But I think I'm not missing any of them. Let's go through. Let's look at a normal, an average person might say their work schedule works at 5, you end at 8, you start work at 8 and at 5. Okay, you pick a taxi, you drive to work. So how do I incorporate this habit into my work schedule? How do I do that?
Okay. It's something that if you want to do, you have to make a conscious effort to do it. It's not that something that happens automatically. The reason being, health is a choice.
Health is
it's a choice. Yeah, you choose to live healthy. Health is not automatic. Okay, so in trying to live healthy, you have to plan. Okay, you have to have an objective, that this is where you want to get to, this is what you want to do. So then you start taking the steps towards those particular things. So for instance, you know when you come back from work, you know, you come back around 8:30 that way, and it's very difficult for you to eat. So what is and you know you have to sleep early too, if you want to wake up and go to bed. So what do you do? So realizing that you don't go and take Gakomi and then Banco and those things just to sleep in 30 minutes time. So realizing that around that time, you make sure that you go for something which will not put so much stress on your digestive system, which will digest quickly and to also help you to sleep better.
Okay. I help us plan our day like this. I enjoy Accra traffic, so I leave home at 6:30 to work. Okay, I need to get to work at 8 in the morning. I work almost throughout the day. Lunchtime, I might just want to take something, whatever is available. I get home, I close at 5. I get home at like 6:30. Okay. What are some of the food I need to take, and when I want to incorporate, exercise and diet, and what do I look at? Because I go to work, I come back. Sometimes I come home at 8. As an average person living in Accra, what do I do?
Just think that, you know, for instance, in the mornings, I believe that you are leaving home in as much as possible. Breakfast, you can't do away with it. It's a very, very important thing when it comes to a healthy lifestyle. Breakfast is very, very important. And the way you wake up, you know, it's like you sleep throughout the night. You wake up, the body needs some energy to work on. And so that energy is the food you are going to put inside your body at that particular time of the day, which is the breakfast. And so it's very vital to make sure that you take your breakfast. And breakfast, you can take it between the hours of 6 to 8. Probably by 9, you should take your breakfast. And then when you talk about lunch, lunch, should we take the lunch between the hours of 12 to 2? You know, we don't see what happens within the body system, but just like any other machine, the body's work, you know, it's processed. It's a processing system that goes on within the body. We don't see with our naked eyes, but it's a processing system. So when you take your breakfast, within the hours of 9 to 12, the processing takes place. So lunchtime, you feel hungry, you take your lunch between the hours of 12 to 2. There's another process that takes place. So supper, you can take your supper between the hours of 5 to 7. Some people go home at 8. 8, fine, but you still need to eat something inside your body. And what you are supposed to eat shouldn't be something that you just take it and then go to bed. I am so amazed when I see people eating fufu at that time of the night and then going back to sleep. And interestingly, you have some of our fathers, they just eat by the bed, wash your hand by the bed, and then lay on the bed and sleep. Without even exercising. But if you are supposed to eat, the food you are eating is supposed to give you an energy. And what are you using the energy to do? Is you using the energy to sleep? No, that's not the use of the food. The food is supposed to give you an energy that you are supposed to work with it. If you don't work with it, then you see it coming, you know, storing within your abs, and then you see your stomach protruding. But if you are able to work with it, you don't see all those big fats, extra things that you see around you. So you have to work with it. So for supper or for dinner, you have to eat, but just make sure that if even it's banquet you want to eat, the quantity, reduce the quantity, and then just supplement it with, you know, more of the soups or more of the stews, so that the quantity of the carbohydrates will be less. And if even I'm not advising fufu for night, that one is just too much, because food take a long time for it to digest. But you can take banku, you can take rice, but just make sure that you reduce the quantity as compared to what you take for lunchtime. You know, you have to look at the size you are taking. But you can just take your normal beverage. Some people will tell you I don't eat, but they will take tea or coffee or milk. But when you sometimes when you look at the nutritional values, when you are calculating the calories and all that, you realize that the calories in the tea is even more than that of the fufu or the banku you are taking. But so just make sure that you just reduce the quantity of the carbohydrates, implement or supplement more of your vegetables, just build it more up, and then you just enjoy.
I want us to look at this kids, and I've made some observation for kids and also for adults. Let's look at the adults now, and especially look at the eating habits, and especially what should constitute our food, like breakfast. What should I add to my breakfast? Lunch, what should I add? And supper, what should I really add? So on the average person, an adult, what should be, I mean, looking at our breakfast, and what we have locally, okay? Let's give you a
okay.
breakfast.
So let me just try and put this picture in the minds of people. The triangle. You know, the triangle has three equal sides. The tip of the triangle is very slim, and then you have the lower base wide. So just picture a triangle, divide a triangle into four bits. When you are labeling, the tip of the triangle should be labeled as the fats. And when I'm talking about fats, I mean your oils, your salad creams, and what have you. They are all the fats, so you have to label them as the fats. Then you come to the next step of the triangle. You label it your proteins. The proteins, you have the animal protein and then the plant-based protein. So, could be your egg, your beans, your agushi, your granules, your red meat, your fish, they are all proteins. So you leave them there. The next bit of the triangle is your carbohydrates. So your carbohydrate could be your kokonte, your banku, your yam, your plantain, your rice, your bread, whatever. They are all carbohydrates. They are just there. And then the lower base of the triangle, we label it the vitamins and minerals, which is the fruits and vegetables. So as a meal comes in front of you, being it lunch, supper, or breakfast, you have to make sure that you have this picture in mind. What's the quantity of the oil in the food? What is the protein bit of it? What about the carbohydrate bit of the diet? And then you look at the vitamins and minerals, which is the fruits and vegetables. So at the end of the day, if you are eating, whatever time of the day, whatever meal you are eating, you picture the triangle, and when you picture, you don't get this triangle in the meal you are eating. Then you have to know that whatever you are eating is not a balanced meal. So I won't say eat this, eat that, but you have to just make sure you picture the triangle in mind. Just a little bit of fat, then you have your protein in it, just your carbohydrates, and the more important, a lot of the things should be from your vegetables and your fruit, where you are going to get your vitamins and your minerals. And it's very, very important, because the food we eat at the end of the day is divided into three. I always say it. We have the energy-giving food, and then we have the bodybuilding, and then we have the protective ones. The energy ones are the carbohydrates, and the growth is your proteins. But the ones that protect you, that prevent diseases, are the fruits and vegetables. And these are the ones that we normally exclude in our diet. And even if we are putting it in our diet, we put just a little bit or the minute part of it. But that is the one that is going to protect the body from the diseases. So we need more of that. So we're just indicating that in as much as possible, being a breakfast, lunch, supper, you have to make sure that there is a lot of fruits and vegetables in your diet.
Okay, I'll come to the kids, but I want to go to coffee. Look at exercise. Where do I fit in exercise? 9 to, I leave home at 6. I come back home, physical average, 6 again. To where do I fit my exercise? And what do I need to do?
With the exercise, the idea is to make time for exercise. The ideal thing is that every individual should be able to exercise about 30 minutes to 45 minutes a day. Okay, that is when you begin to derive the maximum benefit from exercise. And then looking at the exercise too, we have three different types. We are talking about cardiovascular exercise. That is when you see people running, brisk walking, and doing all those things. That is cardiovascular. Then we are talking about strengthening exercise. These are exercises that build up your muscles and strengthen your bones. Okay, so those are when you see people doing press-ups, lifts, or sometimes when you see them at the gym doing some, you know, dumbbell lifting and all those things, they constitute a strengthening exercise. Then we have flexibility. Flexibility is when you see people stretching. You know, one of the natural stretch that we normally do is when we are yawning, the way we just stretch our arms back. It seems very natural to us, but that is the body's own way of actually releasing stress and also making sure that blood flow and things are circulated properly to every part of the body. So those are the three main types of exercises. So in a normal day, you know, if you are somebody who is time pressed, we normally advise that if you go to work, for instance, we don't advise you to sit constantly at one place and be doing the work. For instance, when you have a little time for break, maybe an hour or 30 minutes, we advise that you take about 5 minutes, then you do a lot of stretching exercises. Yes, we can ask you to look at the cardiovascular, but you know, when you go out and you walk, you might come back and be sweaty in your dress. So we don't advise that. So we advise that you do a lot of stretching, which is very, very relaxing. And that can actually help take care of your muscles, relax them, and reduce some of the lower back pain and the uncomfortable pains that we normally have in our muscles. So those are some of the exercises that we do. So in between the times that, you know, you are at work, especially if you are very, very busy, you don't have enough time to sleep, because mind you, rest is also a part of the whole thing. If you don't have enough rest, it's also another issue altogether. So doing all those things and not sleeping, your body even doesn't have time to repair. So at the end of the day, the exercise which is supposed to help you build up will actually end up breaking you down, because you're not having enough rest. So that is the way it is. So the three types of exercise, that is what they are, and then that is some of the things that we can do in between, you know, when we are at work and those things.
All right, this is Yifuwais from If You're Listening. If you have any question to do with health, especially your eating habits, and question to do with that, you can just if you're on social media, post on our page, facebook.com/Yifuwaisproject, or post on the post I made on my wall, facebook.com/BernardKelvin. Ask your questions, your contributions, and it will be read live on air. So you can also text into 0244-961-121, and we're going to read and discuss your questions for you. My guest has been Kafui and Abigail. Okay, I think I have one right question for you. This is Ebenezer Smith. He says that the lady implying that I can't eat my fufu with live soup by 5 or 6 p.m. I need some clarification, please. You got a question? He's asking Ebenezer that it doesn't mean he can't eat his fufu after 5 p.m. Let me tie this to his question. Okay. You know, I like fufu. Okay, my wife cooks and I come back home like 7. But I want to enjoy the meal because it's not just something small you're stating. I need to eat and make sure I'm full. What do I do? At least I want it 3 times a week.
Okay.
And she does that for me.
All right. Bernard, that's what you want, and you want to eat your fufu. But I always say, there's no bad food. You have to think about the quantity. And also, when you finish eating, what are you doing? You understand? That's my basis. After the meal, what will you do? Are you just going to sleep or you're going to walk around? If you're going to walk around, I wouldn't have a problem. Just walk around like 30 minutes before you come, 30 minutes, come shower, and then you take your bed. I don't have a problem. But those that eat, and then after that, they just go to bed. You see them lying in the couch and sleeping. You know, that's where my problem lies. Because your food you are eating, every food you put inside your body gives you energy. And if you don't use the energy will just go and store itself somewhere. You understand? And then that's what is causing a lot of the problems you are facing now. Too much of the cholesterol, too much of this, too much of this in the system. And these are the causes. But if you are able to work with it, I don't have a problem. You can eat your fufu as late as 9. At the end of the day, if you are working, if you are a contractor or you are whatever, you are going to work, I don't have a problem. But my problem is, after eating, what do you do? Are you just sleeping? And then you just be having some strange dreams and you say somebody is chasing your dreams. You only eat and then you just start dreaming. So you have to be very careful. There's no bad food. I must say this once again. There's no bad food. The quantity matters. And then when you finish eating, what do you do with the food? What do you do with the energy that you get from the food?
There's no bad food, really. And what do you do after your meal? And this is, okay, there's an input from Tanko Abdullah Ibrahim. He says that he's listening to you, Abigail, actually, and the show. And he says that he can conclude that it's God Almighty who is really taking care of us. I think I said with him, it's true, busy. When you look at the food we eat, especially here, and it's God who's taking care of us. But however, he says, none of this is being practiced in Ghana, especially. He mentioned Gideon Massa that doesn't practice that, he probably never eats. So, you know, that's why I asked the initial question that if, not to really state, let's say someone is listening, like Albert Kusi is listening, he has a very bad eating habit. Okay, now there's a point. If you can just, let me say, recommend, it's not a suggestion or a must, but okay, breakfast, what should I take? If I need to leave home at 6, what should I take for breakfast? Just state those things. And even if you mention fat, carbohydrate, nutrients, one on the average person might not even know about those. So maybe a food with maybe garri inside is maybe vegetables, I don't know. So state. Then when it comes to lunch, on average, what should we take? Then supper. I think with this, we are ready to go.
All right, let's take, let me start with this simple one. You know, people love the Hausa cocoa. But you take Hausa cocoa, add sugar. Then you buy a long tea bread and enjoy it. Now let's look at the nutritional value in the food. The Hausa cocoa is carbohydrates. The end product of carbohydrates is glucose in the body, which is sugar. You add sugar to it, which will also give you glucose, which is sugar. The bread you are adding is also carbohydrate. The end product of it is what? Sugar in the body. So at the end of the day, you've taken Hausa cocoa, sugar and bread. You think you've eaten, you are full. But nutritionally, you haven't given your body anything apart from carbohydrates.
So the best practice.
So what we are trying to say is that everything you eat should be a balanced meal. So you can still drink your Hausa cocoa. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can buy the Kose. The Kose, they have 2 types. I don't like the other one. The current one. I prefer the old timers. The one you open and it looks ash, you know. It doesn't, the black eye in it.
Okay, expert.
The typical Hausa cocoa.
Tell us about that.
Okay. The typical Kose. Okay. Not the current Kose. We put egg in it. Yeah. Because the beans itself is protein. So when you add egg, it becomes too much. Mm-hmm. So you have the Hausa cocoa. You don't need too much. 2 Kose, it's okay. A cup of the Hausa cocoa, just add your sugar. And then it's a simple balance meal. Because the Kose is being fried with oil, so there is some oil in the Kose. The Kose itself is protein, which is a plant-based protein. It's beans, so you have your protein bit of your diet. Then you come to the Hausa cocoa. The Hausa cocoa is carbohydrate, so you have your carbohydrates at the end of the day, so you are eating. But at the end of the day, to get the nutritional value in that Kose, to extract the vitamins in that Kose, which is the beans, the minerals in that Kose, you have to add a citrus fruit to it. So, you either have to add a pineapple, an orange or a tangerine, so that you'll be able to extract that ingredient or that value from it. So all that we are saying is, Hausa cocoa kose is not a bad meal, but at the end of the day, you can just add a fruit to it, and then it will make it a simple, balanced meal. Lunchtime, you can just go for yam, plantain, whatever carbohydrates you have, with any of the green vegetables. It could be consomme, it could be banku and okra stew, it could be banku, garden eggs and yam stew, you know, depending on whatever you are taking. That could be for lunch, and just a portion of fish if you want meat too, not too much, just a little of the meat, or if you want chicken, just make sure that you take the skin off from it and then you enjoy it with it. For supper, depending on which time of the day you are taking it, it could be the same as your lunch, but just make sure that still it should be a balanced meal. Just a little bit of the fat, it shouldn't be too much. If you are the type who wants to go for maybe yam or plantain for supper, just the size, and then just make sure that you load it with so much of the consomme stew. Most of the time, you realize that when we serve the meal at home, the yam is plenty, and then we have just a little bit of stew. And that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about, no, there should be enough stew on the meal. Sometimes the stew itself will really fill you up than the carbohydrates. But if you don't add too much stew, that means you are going to use the carbohydrate to fill in more than the stew. So I'm just saying that it should be more. And then when we are serving, you have to make sure that the women take more of protein. You know, every, you know, we always turn things upside down. I just don't get it sometimes. You know, you see our mothers giving the bigger portion of the meat to our fathers, but they don't need it. After 25, there's no growth. So it's the children who need it. And then the woman is herself. She's also needed, because, you know, every month we menstruate, so we lose our ions in there. So we need a replacement. So we need it. And that is not saying that the woman should also go and chew more than necessary. We have our limits. You know, we have limits.
I think, Abigail, we have to look at a lot of things that we need to look at too.
Health is wide.
Exactly. Exactly. So now I think the basic thing, given the guidance, where everyone can still adhere to this or work around this.
But
I have a question. I'll pick our last question, then we can take our last, I would say, $1 billion health tip for us in the area of exercise, coffee, and health. Then we look at the rest coming month, Abigail. Okay, okay, listen carefully. This is what she says. Since she needs help, okay, this is from Seriam. She says, I need help. I have a bad eating habit. I love to take breakfast because it's considered the most important meal of the day. And she want to take it after 9 or 10 a.m. She wonder whether it's good. And however, if she's forced to take the breakfast after 9, she want to throw up. And because of that, at times, she goes a whole day without taking any food in the system. And so what advice do you have for her?
Well, it could be, you know, what kind of food is she taking for breakfast?
Okay, not stated.
She's not stated. And then I always say that, you know, sometimes some of these things, you can't just look at the text the person is sending and then you just recommend anything. Sometimes you have to meet the person one-on-one. And I'll just advise that maybe she see a dietitian at the Kolibutician Hospital or any hospital that has dietitian. And I believe they will just take her through her eating pattern. They have to know what exactly she's eating that is making her throw up. And, you know, our bodies itself is a doctor on its own. When you take something and your body don't like it, the body rejects it. So you have to, like, try the varieties. Whichever one your body likes, then you adhere to it, and then you just enjoys. And then, you know, we are also blessed as a country. Every season comes with its own fruit and vegetables. So we also have to just not, you know, put ourselves, you know, just one directional way. We have to go variety. So every season you just try as much. Now I believe cocoyam is in season, consomme is in season, and we have the mushrooms too in season. You can go variety. Mushroom is also a protein bit, you know, plant-based protein. You can just go and agushi is also there. So it should, our diet shouldn't be one way. We can go variety. So we should just try our hands on various things, not only the fried rice and chicken and all that. Just go variety.
As a European nation, I think our health is one area we've really taken for granted.
It's true.
And by time we really take that very, very serious. I'll pick my $1 billion advice or tip from Kaffee in the area of exercise.
Yeah, in the area of exercise. And my advice to those, especially who are working, who normally like to work out, is that, or don't have the time, is that at least 20 minutes a day, okay, is good enough to keep you in a very good shape. All right. And research has proven that if you are doing any kind of exercise, especially the brisk walking and the running, after 15 minutes, that is when the benefit begins to come out. So make sure that you go that extra mile. There are people who just do 10 minutes and they think it's okay. No, but just go a little bit, just about 15 minutes.
That will be enough. 20
minutes is even enough to give you enough tremendous benefit. So I think that is the advice, the health tip I'll leave for our listeners today.
All right, Abigail, before I get my white shirt after this, your $1 billion health tips for us.
Also the health tip, like you said, if I'm beginning to talk, I'll still play
you the world.
Let me just end by saying that I hope we'll just try and picture the triangle in mind. And anytime we have a meal served in front of us, we just look at it from the triangle side of view. Just check if the fats, the protein, the carbohydrates, and then the fruits all are occupying the places that they are supposed to occupy. If not, then you have to know that your meal you are eating is not a balanced meal. But at the end of the day, it's also good to know your numbers. So sometimes you have to go and get to know your numbers. And your numbers, I'm talking about, know your sugar levels, know your cholesterol, know your BMI, know your height, your weight. Just get a dental check, just get your eye checks. And they're all very, very vital numbers that I believe we all as a nation should keep in mind. It's not only about your dress size or your shoe size. This, if you should know your cholesterol level, you know that, okay, my cholesterol is high or low, then what I'm eating should be less or high, or it should be this. Or if I know my sugar level is high, then I have to know what and what I'm supposed to do. If I know my BMI number, then I have to know this and that and that. But if you don't know, then you begin to do things that, you know, at the end of the day, are going to put your life, your family, and the whole nation at risk. So we have to take care of ourselves. Eat well and live well.
Thank you very much, Abigail, Ashley, and Kafoyi. Thank you for this health tip. And don't forget, next month we continue about this. This is very important. Very important. And I think, let me read some few comments as we end this section of the program. All right. This is Pakofi. He says that he believes our inability to calibrate the calorie count of our foods is what makes it difficult to check our weight gain and fitness. Thank you, Pakofi. And also, Pakofi says that I think if we could know exactly how many calories we take at breakfast, lunch and supper, then we could plan our exercise to burn either more than we took to lose weight. All right, and also Gideon is there's a funny comment to Tango's question. Kayla Joyce said, good morning, and you know you enjoying this too. This is your voice from, that's a health part we look at with Abigail and Kafui. Make it the next month you look at more into that, because our health really matters for our health and what that we want to do. And just zoom into the next segment, we want to look at tackle graduates unemployment and what we need to do. And I have Albert Kusi seated, and also Minister Mills also right here in the studio. I would say, good morning, Albert.
Good morning, Bernard.
And how are you doing?
Doing great.
You had breakfast?
I'm doing well.
Have you had breakfast?
Not yet.
Not yet.
But I've eaten some white, you know.
Okay, good. I'll be waiting for my after the show. All right, before we look at Guardian Employment and launching into the program that we have for the quarter, I just want you to enjoy this song again. Briefly, while I, because we need that. Enjoy this.
I like
the
song.
Yeah, all of you love this song. Well, you can still do it. Enjoy this shortly, and Albert and Mills continue. Alright, thank you. I know you all love this track. This time we will look at graduate unemployment and how to tackle that. You know, on U.S. form, we don't really talk about the problems. Look at solution-minded individuals and things that you are doing to help. So we look at Project Africa, Ghana, and what we are doing. So not just ranting and complaining, but also providing solutions. That's why you bring resource guests who are able to help you as with this. And today, I have Albert Kusi, is the CEO and founder of Leg Creativity International, and also a lot of things that they do. At the end of the program, we'll know more about Leg Creativity International and a lot of things. And also, I have Minister Mills, Mills is the editor, chief editor of the Springboard newspaper, the number one motivational newspaper in the nation. Good morning again, Mills and Albert.
Good morning, Bernard. Good to have you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to host you, great men in the nation. Let's look at a lot of talks that have been in over the nation weeks and months about a lot of unemployment rates and ratio rising very up, and what we need to do as a nation. And as you've now, we're tackling this issue. What can we do, and what are the ratios, and what are we doing? And we know about the problems already, so we just want to look at how do we tackle that. It's by leaving school and seeking for job, and what one needs to, how does one position yourself, and so that I don't become a victim to that. Minister,
all right, thank you very much, Abby Casey, for the opportunity. Let me say a good morning to your avid listeners. I guess graduate unemployment is becoming a huge cry in our nation, and I think that the more we complain about it, the worse it becomes. Now, I always say that this generation is lucky. Why? Because this generation has seen generations of successful people. Somebody says that if you want to be successful, study successful people, copy the habits and the principles they apply in their lives, and paste it in your own life, and you become successful too. Now, the greatest antidote to graduate unemployment is the pursuit of entrepreneurship. Statistically, jobs seems not to be increasing in our nation. And so what we need to do is to be creating more. If we are not creating more, then we will suffer the more, because every year, thousands of graduates are churned into the system. So what we need to do is to create jobs so we can accommodate the rising streak of graduates that are poured into the system. So entrepreneurship, in my view, is the greatest panacea to the problem of graduate unemployment in our nation.
The graduate unemployment is pursuing of entrepreneurship, and that's the key. You're seeing that. That's what we need.
Yes, yes.
Albert, excuse me.
Yeah, Bernard. Personally, I do believe that graduate unemployment, the way out is self-discovery. The tertiary student, right from level 100 to level 400, must be able to discover who he or she is. It is that process that helps the person to identify what he can do and what he cannot do. And in that process, the person is able to identify the kind of opportunities available for him or her in that field he has been able to discover as his potential or as his talent. So I am of the view that, yes, entrepreneurship is the way, but it begins with the self-discovery process. So the self-discovery process will let you know that, well, I think I'm good with banking and I'm good in figures, therefore I would like to work in the bank. How do I begin the process right from level 100, trying to align myself with various financial institutions in my quest to end up in getting a job in these institutions? I am also of the opinion that there are more jobs in our country than there were 5 years ago. Therefore, I don't believe in graduate unemployment. There are several jobs available, and as a recruiter, and we do interviews quite daily in our company, we come across several graduates in need of jobs, but the jobs are available. They do not have the requisite skill to meet the demands of the job. Thank you.
Wow. So you have the view that there are jobs there, but
exactly,
you don't have skilled labor.
Yes, several jobs. Several. And Dr. Siansa had made that assessing just last 2 weeks at a similar forum, and said there are several jobs, and as her being a human resource consultant, she comes across several job opportunities for young graduates, yet they do not have the skill to meet the demands of that particular jobs. So the process must begin with self-discovery, where the and I also do not believe in assessing that our school curricula is not the best. I am of the opinion that the university environment is prone enough to allow the graduate student move through the systems, go through the structures, and upgrade his or her knowledge, and discover his or herself to the best. So there are clubs, there are associations, there are groups, there are several opportunities at the tertiary level. So we are saying that let the tertiary students or let the lecturers do what they are doing, and let the students also open themselves up to other opportunities in that environment. In that quest, they will overcome graduate unemployment even before they complete school. So graduate unemployment is a mindset which must be cured right from level 100. At the junior high school level or at the senior high school level, when you complete, your target is to make it to the university. So right from senior high school first year, you are being told, work hard and make it to a tertiary institution. Mm-hmm. At the tertiary institution level, your main goal is getting a job. Therefore, how do I find a job right from level 100? That is the way we can cure graduate unemployment.
All right. I quickly give some quick things we can do. When I find myself in the tertiary level and I know within the next 2-3 years, I'm going to complete, what are some of the things I need to do to help me so that after school I can secure a job or I can venture into entrepreneurship?
Thank you very much. They should venture themselves into opportunities like seminars and conferences that happens even right from first year. We have what we call the Fresher Summit. There are so many programs. They should also take opportunity of their church activities. They should take opportunity of their hall activities. They should take opportunity of their faculty activities. And these activities open them up for them to come to realize the things they can do and do well. And if they are able to go through these things, then they will come to a point to realize that, yes, they are on their way to discover that, yes, they are good in organizing events. They are good in putting things together. Therefore, they should look out for a career in that particular field of strength. With the self-discovery process, then you come to find out that, yes, you are good in starting your own business and you want to move into entrepreneurship. Then you are energized because you've come to find out that that is what you think are your strengths. You can put things together, you can mobilize funds, you can work hard with a team of people and start up a business. So when you're able to discover yourself, then you are able to find out, well, I'm not going to work for somebody right from when I complete school. I'm going to start my own business right in school, as some of us did. And you are able to also find out that, well, I do not want to start my own business right after school. I want to work for 10 years, 20 years, and finally venture into starting my own business. So whichever way would work for you will determine how you have been properly able to examine yourself.
Let me quickly add that I think that my good friend Albert has hit it right on the nail. Self-discovery certainly it's so key to you discovering what you can do best in life. Now, I guess it's good we tackle it from both angles, from the angle of looking for a job after school and also creating one after school. So then, we have a double way, as it were, so that we don't limit people who want to be entrepreneurial after school to just looking out for jobs after school, because there are people with a quest. I think he's an example himself. He's been able to start something right after school, which is phenomenal. There are many more examples of that nature. Now, the truth is that the university system, like he rightly said, opens your mind to what you can really do and what you can become. It's interesting to know that people go to school to study chemistry only to discover that they want to go into ministry. I went to read economics and maths. I discovered I wanted to go into leadership training. And so at a point, I stopped going for lectures, and I was speaking all over in Kikos at every junior and senior high school. That was my passion. You get it? It always starts from self-discovery, like you said. Now, if you want to venture into entrepreneurship, I need to say this, and it ought to be stiffened. Many people think that you need money to start a business. Contrary to that public perception, it's not so. As a matter of fact, money is always an idea. You can do your research. Money is always first an idea. Sometimes money is people. Just one recommendation can transform your financial life. One recommendation can turn around your financial situation. So it's important for people to know that it is treacherous to leave school without a vision. Now, your college degree will make you an employee. If you studied chemistry, you get a degree in chemistry. That makes you a chemist. So you practice as a chemist after school. But your vision of wanting to change the world could shift you into a different dimension and make you an entrepreneur. I don't know of a single entrepreneur, and I guess Albert will attest to this. Every entrepreneur is a visionary. He has a vision of a better future he intends to create, and that motivates him, that drives him, and that keeps him going. In the midst of extreme difficulties, the vision produces passion for accomplishment. So it's good to want to look for a job after school. But it is also possible to create one after school, having the right mindset, the connections, the networks, fine-tuning the idea, and having the urge to start. There's never a better time to start anything. The better time is now. And so I urge many, many young people out there to start now. Now is the time to start and to do something.
Yeah, Bernard, interestingly, in my new book, Graduating Yourself to Unemployment, I talk about the fact that in your quest to start your own business or to become an entrepreneur, there are five battles every entrepreneur would fight. And as Mills rightly said, I've come out with the five battles as one, the self battle. Can I? Am I ready? Can I really do it? Who really accepts me? The second battle is the family battle. Will my family accept this kind of path I want to tread on? I want to stop school, miss lectures, and go out organizing events from Accra to Wa. Is that what my parents would like me to do? So that's the family battle. Then the societal battle, will society accept me? What are the conditions of service? How am I paying for my venues? How am I putting together these programs even without support from corporate Ghana? That's the family that's the societal battle. Then the next battle is what he talked about, the financial battle. What do I need to make it work? Who would be willing to invest in this idea? And I say, when God gives you a vision, he makes provision for that vision. And when you are not able to get support for your vision, then it's a nightmare. Then you are not able to communicate your thoughts, your ideas in clear language for people to say, I think this will work. I think I'm ready to invest my capital in making you start your own business. And I think the final one is the spiritual battle. How am I battling with my spiritual source? How does God approve of this business idea? How is God helping me? Because he said, be not anxious for anything, but in all things through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. So if you spend time praying, if you spend time dedicating that business idea into God's care, he will bring opportunities in your way that you've not come across before.
All right, thank you for this 5 pillars. I think you reiterate that when we end the program. But basically, and Albert, and we want to look at how you are going to use, and Alex is going to use Guardian Corporate Connect to help this issue of Guardian Unemployment, and how the whole program is going to be like, so that the youth listener out there, how can they participate in it? And
yeah, thank you very much. So we have come out with a program entitled the Graduate Corporate Connect. We say connecting the graduate to the corporate environment, because we still believe that there are more jobs. And that is why we are putting together this program, projected to reach well over 20,000 unemployed graduates. And it's themed reducing graduate unemployment through strategic positioning and partnerships. We believe that using these two pieces, strategic positioning and partnerships, will be able to help. If I partner recruitment agencies, if I partner Corporate Ghana, and we all go out there from Wau to Accra mountain stands and say, come and let's see, come and prove to us what you've got. Come and prove to us your skills in entrepreneurship. Come and prove to us your skills in being detail-oriented, your skills in working for long hours, your skills in working without supervision. So we are giving unemployment, or we are trying a challenge to graduate unemployed that come and meet Corporate Ghana in what we call the Graduate Corporate Connect, taking place from Wau to Accra. And we've invited well over 80 corporate institutions to come and do recruitment, and also to recruit 80. And Bernard, interestingly, they are even exceeding the numbers, because we've had calls from several companies saying we also would like to recruit because we are not getting the required graduates we are looking out for, and we place adverts in papers, yet we don't get. So we would like to be on your platform and come and do the recruitment right on the spot. We are also saying that many people are applying their jobs wrongly. They do not know the process. For example, I'll share with you, Barclays Bank do not do recruitment for entry-level graduates, and they recruit through a recruitment agency. Therefore, if you want to work with Barclays and you are not looking at the recruitment agencies that have been assigned to recruit for Barclays, then you are missing it. Carl and other several other organizations do the same. And we as Select Creativity, one of our departments is what we call the recruitment agency, the Lek Recruit, where we recruit for companies as well. So if you don't know about Lek Recruit, how do you send me your CV for me to verify, for me to go through? And come Monday, Tuesday, we are doing about, we are interviewing over 500 graduates at Paloma Hotel for them to come and prove to us what they have got before we can send them to the various institutions. So Graduate Corporate Connect will come off on the 19th of July, starting from Cape Coast. We are starting from Cape Coast. On the 20th Saturday is the Accra edition at the Nut Hall, where it will begin with a seminar. We are bringing business leaders, CEOs, human resource directors to come and explain the process of recruitment. What does it take? What do they expect from the graduate? After the seminar session, they will move into the fair, where the graduates have the opportunity to move around the various companies, make their own choices. I mean, it's from MTN to Tigo to Car, all the banks you can think of, all the insurance companies you can think of, all the ministries, the departments are available. Come and prove to them what you have got. And I can assure you, you can leave such a program with your job. It's 20 Ghana cedis. It comes with lunch. It comes with snack package. It comes with several items, your certificate and other items will be given, an opportunity for your CV to be edited. We believe that many people's CVs are not well edited. And we want to thank Top Radio, we want to thank BKC Consulting for being partners on this show. I want to thank Uba Femi of Tigo, Geneva of Barclays Bank, Reverend Abedo Crown of ICGC for their support in trying to put together this Graduate Corporate Connect for Ghana. And we want to extend this program even beyond the shores of Ghana. And Bernard is one of the speakers for the WAR edition. And I hope Bernard will share his thoughts on how a young graduate can put themselves together and brand themselves in their quest to overcome the unemployment situation. Because right at the program, if you are well dressed, I am sure a company will be interested in signing you on. Thank you very much.
Oh, this is amazing. So,
yeah, if you are well dressed and you're in your suit, like my brother here is, I'm sure a bank would like to for you to be their customer service client.
Okay, so you said.
And interestingly, we are giving 10 tickets out to people who are listening to Thumb Radio right now to say that be part of Graduate Corporate Connect. We are launching it on air and say it's officially launched. The theme is reducing graduate unemployment through strategic positioning and partners. And we say this is our support in our quest to reduce it. And we want to thank the Ministry of Youth and Sports, the National Service Secretariat, and all government agencies that are helping us in making this dream a reality and we say, if you can call Bernard or post on Bernard's wall or send a message or do something, Bernard will be able to give you a ticket to be part of Graduate Corporate Calling taking place in Accra on the 20th of July at the NATO, right from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Meet Bishop Titi Ofe, Bernard Clive, Emmanuel Day to me, and all the speakers you can think of, the HR managers of the various banks to be available to come and assist us in our quest to overcome. And those who want to be entrepreneurs, is the right platform to be. There is the entrepreneurship desk where you can move on to and be told how to start and grow your business. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Abel. I think the time is up. But if you, even if you can text in now, 0244.